Okay, we're going to talk about a very sensitive issue, but a very important one. Money, tithing. If you're a visitor, you came to the wrong service. Tithing is percentage giving. It's the pattern of giving for God's people in the scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament. Now, I realize some of you, this is going to be new stuff. Some of you, it's going to be old stuff. You've heard it. Heard a lot of sermons on tithing. Doesn't hurt to review why we do this. I come from a Roman Catholic background. Most of you know that. You know, I dropped 20 bucks in the offering plate. I thought I was a hero. Thought God was real pleased with me. And then I became a biblical Christian, and I understood a whole different way of giving to God. And it was only after, really, I started reading the Bible and understand giving and the teaching from the Bible on giving that I learned about this whole thing called percentage giving and planned giving. Now, whenever any preacher talks about money or tithing, people get worried. Maybe you're not worried, but a lot of people, it's a super sensitive issue for. They probably had a bad experience somewhere. Or they come from a church where they talked about money all the time. What our plan here, and I've been doing this for 35 years, is I preach on money three times. This is going to be a three-part series. And it's not always on tithing. It may be on general stewardship principles or management principles. But we preach 3 years on managing God's resources, because it's a very important part of the Christian life. In fact, I've told you this before, that something like over 2,000 times give or giving is mentioned in the Bible, much, much more than the word faith or love. God knows how much this can have a grip on our lives, and that's why he says money can be the root of all evil. There are a lot of Christians, yes, even Christians, who are stuck in their spiritual life. And when you come right down to it, it's on this issue. So what we try and do here is we don't talk a lot about money. We have four basic funds. The way you give here in this church is real simple. We have four basic funds. General fund, which is the main fund that pretty much pays for most of the bills here. The building fund, which is just the mortgage. We're hoping to retire that by 2022. At least that's our goal. The mission fund is our global ministry for our partners around the world, like Lima and Africa and Burkina Faso. And then the community care fund. We invest a lot in the community. We help a lot of organizations and the poor and needy in the Fox Valley. We have a free medical clinic here. We care for people here who are struggling financially. So that's kind of our system to give. But that's not what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about what the Bible teaches about biblical type giving. And I think you know me by now. I'm not looking to discourage anybody. I'm looking to encourage you. I'm not a discourager. Not like that. You've heard the story of the hairstylist has somebody in their chair, and the hairstylist starts talking about, asked the guy, where are you going to be? You taking any trips? He goes, yeah, I'm going to Italy. And he's negative right away. Very discouraging. He says, I've been to Italy. The hotels are dirty. The food stinks. The Italians are incredibly rude. Really discouraging. And the guy says, well, geez, I don't know. You know, we're going to be in good hotels. We're going to go to good restaurants. We're even going to see the Pope. He says, nah, you'll never see him. There's too many people. Well, he goes to Italy, comes back, he sits in a chair, and he says, well, was I right? He says, no, you weren't right. It was great. He's all fired up. He says, it was wonderful. We stayed at top-notch hotels, tremendous food, marvelous time, especially with the Italian people. They are so kind. They're so generous. They're so loving. You can see why I love telling this story. And he said, I got to see the Pope. In fact, I was going through line. And somehow he called me out. I had a private audience with him. And for the first time, this hairstylist perks up. He's really positive. He says, well, that's great. He said, what did the Pope tell you? He said, well, he just asked me one question. He said, where'd you get that lousy haircut? So I'm going to try and be encouraging today on a very sensitive subject. Okay. Now, when you think about giving in the Bible, you got to remember there are three main types of giving. Now, they fall into these three buckets. Here's the first one. First one is called free will offering. Free will offering. Here it is, Exodus 35. The children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing, not something you feel pressured for, you give it willingly, to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done. Okay, here's the context. They're building a building. They're building a thing called a tabernacle. They need money for this. They need supplies. And the people of God who felt led, who had a desire and were willing and had a special concern, gave freely to a specific need. That's called a free will offering. You give it freely to a specific need. This happens all the time at Appleton Alliance Church. People here, they'll see a need and they'll go to a ministry. It might be Discovery Land. They need something. It might be our Hope Clinic. It might be Worship Arts. We've had people donate a piano or something. Or a sister church in Peru. We've had people give to that. These are people who feel called by God, and they're sensing a movement of God in their life that they are to give to that. This is not tithing. This is not regular giving. This is very specific. Another example in the New Testament would be in Philippians 4, where Paul says, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. What he's referring to there is that he was about to go and do some missionary journeys, and a gift was given to him for that journey. It's very specific, a free will offering. Most of you will experience this at some point where God will burden you, give to that thing. That's a free will offering. Okay, second type of offering. Now, this is what some people have called ridiculous giving. This is what's generally referred to as sacrificial giving or sacrificial offering. This involves giving it all. This type of giving is almost illogical. It's bone-chilling, where people, and there's usually a very select group of these type of people, who will get to a point in their life and they will sense that God's telling them, pull the plug, give it all, let it all go. And of course, the example that should come to mind when I talk about sacrificial giving should be Luke chapter 2. Here it is. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor woman came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part out of their surplus. A lot of us give a tiny part out of our surplus. But she, as poor as she is, what? Has given, what's the word? Everything she has. That's sacrificial giving. You give it all. Another example, not quite the same, it's almost on the opposite end, but it's still the same principle, is the little boy during the great miracle of, in John chapter 6, of the feeding of the multitude. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd coming to look for him, turning to Philip, he asked, where are we going to buy any bread to feed all these people? And he said, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And if you've heard any preacher ever preach on this text, they will tell you one of the things is that the boy, that's all he had. So his whole lunch, and he gave it all. That's the kind of sacrificial giving is. When God says, just give it all. You know, some of you remember John Bechtel when he was here. John is an Alliance missionary, grew up on the mission field. His parents were missionaries in China during the war, and John has an incredible story, but John's got that kind of faith. Man, I mean, he expects God to do big things. And he tells the story wherever he goes of the Sun Dew Camp. It's a very famous, true story where he was in Hong Kong and he needed a big place for children. He had thousands of children that he wanted to reach in Hong Kong, and he said, I need a place for them to go to. And he found a company, a corporation, that had closed a multi-million dollar hotel conference complex and grounds. And it was just vacant for years. And he got in touch with the company and he says, I would like to purchase that. I believe God wants us to have that to reach thousands of kids here in Hong Kong. And they said, well, what's your offer? And he says, I have no money. They said, well, you need money to purchase it. He said, okay. So he came back to the United States and he'd come to churches and he'd do little presentations in all these churches. And then he'd say, listen, if you feel led at the end, you can give some money. And he says, nobody was giving anything. And he said, and then I got a letter from a little girl in one of the churches. And she said, I've taken my bank and I've emptied it. It's about $1. My mother gave me $1. And so here's $1. Go buy the camp. And he goes back to China. It's a true story. He goes back to China. And because they gave him a date, he had to come back with the money. He says, I don't have the money. And they said, well, our board met, and we're looking to do a tax write-off. And with this thing we've been carrying for too long, he says, we're going to donate it to you for $1. He said, I got the dollar. Yeah. It's the way it works sometimes. God does those kind of incredible things. Especially when people give sacrificially, when they give it all. Now, and by the way, let me just say as a side point, I have walked alongside sacrificial givers. And I'll tell you something. You may think you're a very godly person. Meet a sacrificial giver, and you feel like a spiritual pygmy. Some of these people trust God for amazing things, and they give it all. Okay, free will giving. Specific thing, God lays it on my heart, I'm willing to do it, you give. Sacrificial giving, give it all. But that is not the norm of giving. The norm mode for God's people to give in the Bible is the tithe. That's it. God's idea. Live on 90%, give me 10%. The first 10%, the first and the best, that is a principle. Proverbs chapter 3, let me remind you of it. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats with overflow with good wine. I got to tell you something. I get these calls, I got an old stinking couch I'm not using anymore. Would the church like it? And this is what's going through my head. Have you not read the verse? You don't give God leftovers. Why not call me and say, I feel like God's put it on my heart to help you fill that room. I want to buy you a new couch. But no. I got some left over. I don't have any use for this thing anymore. Would you like it? Well, it's not about it. Sure, yeah, we could probably use it in there. There's more of what you're trying to communicate here to God. The Bible says you give God what? A first. Not the leftovers. You give him the best. Why? Because listen to me, and this is a pause button. When you give to God, you have to have the right attitude, or you get zero credit for it. You think you fool God? Let me tell you something. When you give anything to God, you better have the right attitude. And here's the first piece. Here's the number one piece of this attitude. There's three parts of it. Number one is, it's an act of worship, right? What did Jesus do at the cross? He gave it all. He held nothing back. God gave himself. He gave his son all of it. So whenever I give to God, I'm actually acknowledging this. God, you have given me everything. I own nothing. I wouldn't even know you if you didn't give everything. You own it all. It's not my money. It's not my retirement fund. It's not my bank account. It's not my house. You own it all. You own everything. And so when I give a portion of whatever you've given to me, which you own and I just manage, whenever I give it back to you, it's actually an act of worship, acknowledging that you own everything in my life. That's the first way you give to God, is an act of worship. The second way you give to God, the second piece of your spirit when you give to God, is one of thanksgiving. And by the way, God, I am so thankful for how generous you are with me. I'm constantly amazed at how generous you are with me. First of all, the fact that I live in the United States blows my mind. 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry at night. I've been born in a country, even though I whine, I don't have enough, that literally 2/3 of the world would consider me rich. So I am thankful I get to give to you. It's a part of my thanking you for your generosity to me. Third piece of your attitude, trust. Trust. What I'm giving to you now, God, I trust you. Meaning, you have told me I can't outgive you. And you will always bless me back, from the verse we just read in Proverbs and others, you'll bless me back whatever I give to you, and you will always outgive me. That's saying, I trust you for that. Here's one of the great promises in the Bible, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. This is an incredible verse. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, I want you to test me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God says, test me in this. Test me in this. Challenge me in this. See if I don't follow through on what I've said, that you can trust me that when you give to me, I'll give back. More than that, I'll outgive you. It's a challenge from God. So, those three pieces need to be part of whenever you give to God. It's an act of worship. I own nothing. I'm just managing. I'm giving you back what belongs to you. And it's an act of worship that I am your doulos, your slave. I belong to you. I've been bought with a price, with Christ, death and resurrection. I give back to you, Lord. I own nothing. Secondly, I'm doing it because I'm so thankful for how generous you are with me. Thirdly, I trust you, God. I can't outgive you. Now, pause button. If you can't give like that, you got permission from me. Keep your money. Don't give it here. Don't give it to God. He doesn't need it. If you're going to give to God, this is so critical, folks, you got to have a good attitude. People say this to me all the time. Well, you know, they should do it anyway as an act of obedience. I don't believe that. I don't believe that because God says, I want cheerful giving. I want people who want to do it and want to do it in the right way. Now, that means maybe the issue in your spiritual life is you need to get there. Why don't you have that spirit? That's a theological issue. But you need to get to a point in your giving to God so that you're set free from feeling bad about it or you know, giving it grudgingly, where you can give it cheerfully. And the Greek word, by the way, for cheerfully is you give it, you're laughing as you give it. That's how much you're freed up to give it to God. And by the way, if that sounds like such a stretch for you, that's how much you've been infected by the world that tells us we own it. It's my bank account. It's my job. I worked hard for it. It's mine, 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 mine. Let me tell you something, folks. The next breath you're taking right now, guess who's giving you that? You and I own nothing. We have no rights, especially if we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. The day you bowed your knee and you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you gave up all your rights. anything he gives you outside of salvation is icing on the cake. And the truth is, he still blesses us. More than we can even imagine. More, certainly more than we deserve. I remember when I first came to Christ, I had a good buddy, owned three big businesses in New York City. Young guy in his 20s, incredible entrepreneur. We're buds. And I came to Christ, first thing I want to do is I want to bring my buddy Steve with me and have him hear the gospel. So I walked. I think we walked at least 5 hours in Midtown Manhattan. And we didn't even get to dinner. We're just walking the streets. And I'm telling Steve, you got to give your life to Jesus. Trust me. I just read John chapter 3 says you got to be born again to even see heaven. Trust me. Forget about the Catholic Church. Forget about Protestant Church. It doesn't matter. That's religion. This is following Jesus. You got to give your life to Jesus. And we're just walking the streets of New York. And finally, Steve says to me, what do I got to do, Dan? I'm there. I go, let's just slip into this alleyway here, down this side street. Let's pray. And we just walked down a side street. We could get some privacy with it. There weren't a whole bunch of people around us. And I said, I'm going to pray. You pray after me. You give your life to Jesus. And he did. It was amazing. Amazing. Totally revolutionized this guy. You saw the Spirit of God working through him right away. Starts buying houses on Long Island. He's putting single moms in there that are having a hard time finding, you know, affordable housing. Just incredible. This guy starts to just give. And then he comes to me one day, and he's got this worried look on his face. And I go, Steve, what's up? And he goes, I just realized something. He goes, I got a question for you. This tithing thing, is this retro? Do I got to go all the way back? I said, yes. No, I didn't say that. I said, no. It's just God meets you where you are. From here on out, you want to start, you know, following the biblical pattern. Now, I can't preach on this without people asking me the question, so I want to clear it up right away. Because people get all, especially the theological gurus out there, get all uptight about this. Pastor, you preach to people like tithing is a law, and in the New Testament, we're set free from the Mosaic law. We're set free from the law. So, question, is tithing commanded in the New Testament? And the answer is no, it's not. It's not commanded. In fact, the verse that describes clearest how we should approach giving is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Here it is. Each of you should give what you have decided. It's ultimately your call. What you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly. There it is, the Spirit again. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. No one should pressure you. For God loves a cheerful giver. So you decide in your heart. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. The biblical pattern for giving is the tithe for God's people. So I believe, at least I teach people, I try and disciple people that if you're going to give according to a biblical pattern, yes, you should still tithe. There's no other percentage in the Bible for God's people. If you're going to live according to a biblical, is it commanded though? No. Do I have to tithe? No. Is God up there with a calculator? No. But here's what changed my whole life on tithing when I saw this verse. It's from Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Watch this. Jesus speaking to Pharisees who, by the way, tithe. They're not very loving, but they tithe. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of the religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. Everything, he says, you're tithing, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, faith. Now watch this, Jesus speaking. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Folks, all I got to see is that I'm there. My master says, yes, you should do this. I'm there. I don't need no more theological arguments. Jesus endorsed tithing. Of course he did. It was the pattern for God's people. Do I have to tithe? No. Should I tithe? If you want to consider yourself a biblical Christian, yes, I think you should. Jesus endorsed it. It's the only suggested way of giving for God's people in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. Tithe, even the New Testament church tithe. Of course they did. They were Jewish. It's the biblical pattern. Now, there's lots of folks who struggle now with application. So this question I get probably second to, is it a command? It's another question. Pastor, what do I do then? This is so foreign to me. My budget's not set up for it. What should I do? Well, I'm going to talk turkey with you. I'll be honest with you here. This is the best way to do it. You take the dive. You just do it. When I started tithing, took my budget, I just did it. I said, I'm going to live on 90. Very generous of God. Let me live on 90. I get to live on 90, and I give God 10%. Gross or net? Gross. No brainer. You don't pay the government before you pay God. Hello. You gross. It said what? It said in Proverbs, of everything, whatever I get, whatever income I get, wherever it comes from. Now, I've had businessmen come to me. Does that mean gross sales? No. That means whatever you draw as a salary, whatever you draw as a profit, whatever you want, however you want to gauge it. But whatever your provision is, gross. 10% right off the bat, first ledger item to God. Is it a command? No. Do I have to do it? No. Do I want to do it? Yeah. It's the biblical pattern. How do I get there? For me, I would say you dive. For those of us who that's uncomfortable, then I would say, listen, make it a goal. Make it a goal. Start at 2%, go 3%, 4%, but get out of the thing where you're not planning your giving or you're just giving God the leftovers. That's not biblical. Now, every time I preach on this, I get one of two responses. I get people who say to me, Pastor, this has changed my life. It's amazing. It's changed my life. The most powerful sermon for me was when you preached on tithing. Other people, they get ticked off. And I don't think they're getting ticked off at me. I think they're getting ticked off because I am stepping on a real sensitive area with them. They own their stuff. That's one room in their house they've not allowed God in yet. And I get it. I get it. I get uptight too. This week I even got angry at Siri. I couldn't believe it. And I play with Siri. I don't know if you do this. But I asked Siri this week. I really did. I'm not joking. I asked Siri this week. Siri, call the office of the best team in the NFL. And I'm not kidding you. This is what she said. Siri said, the New England Patriots. And I said, no, Siri, you're clueless. It's the New York Giants. And Siri said, hey, I don't think I deserve that. And then I was going to say, this is what I said to her. Initially, I was going to say, I thought to myself, well, I can't insult Siri. I can't call Siri a fool. Because in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, don't call anybody a fool. But then I thought, well, Siri's not a person. So I can do this. So I said, Siri, you're a fool. And Siri said to me, I'm not kidding. This is exactly what Siri said. I pity the fool who says that to me. Ooh, I always wanted to quote Mr. T. That's nothing to do with the sermon, but I just thought it was very interesting. The point is, don't get so uptight. Maybe, just maybe, this sermon is a sermon that could be a key to unlock more spiritual growth. Look at me. The closer you get to God, the closer He makes you more like Himself, the more you should be generous. Because you're like Him. God is generous. So it just stands to reason. If I'm growing in my relationship with Him, I should become more generous. Frankly, it catches me off guard when I find a seasoned believer who's been a Christian for a long time, and yet they're not big-hearted. in their giving habits. I'm caught off guard by that. It seems to me such a contradiction. I want to read you a letter I got from somebody. This was a while ago, but I put it in my file here. Said, "Dear Pastor Dennis, I listened to you preach for some time now, but nothing really stuck to me until September. God shook my world in September because for the second time, my wife left, and it's been very hard. But by God's grace and mercy, He's making me stronger and giving me more understanding day by day. Also, in September, I started tithing on a regular basis. I'm trying to raise 5 kids, but God has provided everything we need. I asked God to send me a friend to help me out and get through this hard time, and He did. This friend gave me his minivan to use until I can afford to get my own. I needed a new door for the front of my house. This friend gave me one, and it's even the same color as the front of the house. I could go on and on and on, but I'm sure you get the picture. I wanted to give you some reassurance that God does provide for all of our needs." And then they wrote a P.S. From one member of the congregation, "You're doing a hell of a job." I want to tell you something. Not unusual for me to get a letter like that. This is a spiritual issue. This might be the number one area that God is trying to get across to you right now, but you're shutting Him out. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to change your spirit on this thing, this money thing. So you're set free. You're really set free from the bondage of it. And you're set free to thank Him. You're set free to worship Him. You can't outgive God. So trust Him. Trust Him. Let's stand for closing prayer. Lord, thank You that You tread on this area with us. I don't think we can read too long in the New Testament and not see this whole issue of generosity. You want us to grab onto Your heart. You want us to reflect Your heart. And so I pray, especially for the believers who are here who are struggling in this area, I pray, God, You'll set them free. Set them free. Set them free, Lord, to trust You. I pray, God, that if there's folks right now in this audience that are so burdened by their financial condition, I pray You'll give them hope. We have help here with Financial Peace University. There's other ways of getting help. I pray they'll seek help and You'll set them free. So money will not be a place where the enemy will discourage them, but they'll be encouraged with them seeing all of Your powerful work in their lives. And not only just setting them free from the money monster, but also watching the spiritual growth that occurs when they allow You to be Lord in this area. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loves us and by His grace has given us eternal encouragement and good hope, may He encourage your hearts this week and strengthen you for every good deed and word. And God's people said.